This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, thank you that we can come to you. No, there's no darkness in you. As we walk in the light, as you are in the light, we have fellowship with you. The blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. And we may have joy and peace and freedom in this relationship, this knowing, this experience of your love, your truth, and your presence. God, I pray that it will grow more and more in us through your Spirit. So we come to you this morning. We ask that you give us this bread of life, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you've heard, it's the time of the year where all our Shofar churches pray together, and we fast, and we really just seek God's face for our families, our churches, our communities, and also for our country. And I thought it might be wise to just share a little around this concept of prayer and fasting. It's sometimes in our modern churches less frequently practiced. But this week I really want to encourage you to make use of this opportunity to again discover the power and just God's presence in prayer and in fasting. If you've never fasted before, please don't feel under pressure. You can fast just one meal and dedicate that time to really seek God's face in prayer for your family, for your church, for your community, and for your country. That's really the four things that we really want to press in and seek God's face. And I want to encourage you, if you can fast longer than that, please do so. We're going to fast for 3 days. If you can only fast one day, try to make it the Wednesday so that we can all break our fast together. But if you can't, oh, is it me or someone else? No, it's not me. If you can't, if you can't pray all 3 days, pray I pray that you would fast the Wednesday so that you can break it with us. But really, the question many people, we know this so well, but yet from time to time, we just need to stop again and focus about what is prayer and why do we pray and what is fasting and why do we fast. And I think one of the most amazing thing about prayer is what we know so well and yet sometimes fail to live in is that prayer is communication. Prayer is communication and talking with God specifically. And really, it comes down to a response to God. Prayer is more than just making our requests known and talking to God. Prayer is really a response to God. It flows from the revelation of God's love for us. Because of His grace, we are saved, and we respond to this grace through faith. But we respond to it with all our heart. We respond to it with our lives. We respond to it mainly in thanksgiving. First and foremost, in faith, yes, we believe in God, and we'll talk about that. But more specifically, prayer is a response to God. It is a response to His faithfulness. It is a response to His love. It is something we respond to every day when we wake up and He's granted us another day. We see the sun rise again and we are reminded of the fact that His mercies are new every day. And we can respond to Him for everything that He has given us. Everything that He has protected us from and still going to. And so we respond to God first and foremost just to thank Him. I mean, if there's only one thing you do in prayer, and that is to thank God, you are doing a very powerful prayer because you're making God the focus of everything. And so prayer really starts with this heart of response. I mean, that's relationship with God. Relationship with God is communication. It's not just faith. Our relationship with God is not just believing in God. It is actually communicating with God. That's what makes prayer so powerful. And in any relationship, the cornerstone of a relationship is communication. And if you're unsure about that, just get married. Just get married. And you will realize that it's not just my initial interest and expression and commitment to love that makes marriage continue. It is a continuous relationship and communication. And so too, you know, what I love about creation is that God created us in His image and likeness. He made us male and female in expressing who He is. He made us one in marriage as an example for us, a way of understanding what relationship is and His desire for relationship. And so we can learn from our human experience, which is a reflection of a God who loves and is eternally in relationship, the mystery of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how he created us in that likeness and image, and He made us one, and He says, this is, and if you read Ephesians 5, marriage is a reflection of a relationship between God and us, and us and God. And so in our human experience, we also learn a lot about God. So communication in our human experience are not far more different to our communication with God, where we express our heart, where we express our feelings and our desires with one another. I mean, that's what makes marriage so powerful. It's that intimate relationship that you have with one person that is different to your buddies around the fire, where you speak more about, you know, the tragic loss of the Springbok team again, but where you have someone that you can express how you feel about life and what is your desires and dreams in a very special and intimate way. And God desires us when we speak to Him in the same way. So in our relationship with God, we not only believe in Him, we talk to Him. He is our Savior. He's the one that saved my life. And I'm often reminded of that when I'm confronted with His holiness. I am but thankful for Your grace towards me, a sinner, that You saved and redeemed. And I am thankful. I am eternal thankful. It's helpful for me because I got saved at the point of suicide. It was helpful. It was helpful. I'm reminded not just of physical death, but I'm reminded of eternal death, and I'm reminded of the way He saved me. And every day when I wake up in the house that I live, in this town that I live, surrounded next to a wife and children, and I'm thankful for what God has granted me and what He has blessed me with. But He's not only my Savior, He's also my Father. He's not just my Savior, He's my Father. And that in itself, we spoke about it 2 weeks ago, this concept of God being our Father, the fact that He loves us. He loves us personally. He loves us intimately. There's a connection here. And as a father, He's the one that provides for me. He's the one that cares for me. He's the one that's mindful of me. And when I approach Him, it's so powerful when Jesus said, this is how we ought to pray, our Father in heaven. It's immediately, there is a closeness. It's not the Almighty God, all-powerful, distant, eternal God, but our Father. And I'm always mindful when I pray that, You love me. You've made me Your own, and You want to be close. You want to be involved. But You're also the one that provides for me. And I'm thankful that I can come to You as a father. You know, sometimes when life and circumstances and relationship pushes us in a corner where we're all alone, I'm always mindful that I have someone to turn to that's always there for me. It's my Father. And just that concept in itself brings forth joy and worship in my prayer. Thank you that I know that you love me and that you care for me and that I can come to you no matter what's happening in my life. I can come to you. And you're always available. You're never absent. You're never too busy. You always are available for me. Work is never more important. There's never a diary or an answer machine, or your call is very important to me. Please hold. You are number 550,000 million in the queue. I will get back to you. It's never like that. It's like when I call on your name, I know you're hearing, I know you're listening. You are my Father. Then, of course, God is also my Lord. He's the one I follow. He's the one whom I serve in His kingdom. It was helpful for me to be in the military. I understand what that means. You are my Lord. You are my King. And I follow you. I want to know your will and your kingdom. And not only do I want to know your will and your kingdom because you are God, because you are greater, because I have sworn allegiance to you, because you bought me. I want to know your will because it's good. It's perfect. And your will leads to eternal life. So when I pray, it's not just about me, it's about you. God, what is your will for my life? In the midst of the circumstances, God, I explain to you everything around it and to the greatest detail I can explain to you. And God has a desire to know, just like, you know, we ask our children, you know, how was your day? Tell us. And, you know, what we don't like is when our children's response is fine. It's like, that's not the purpose of the question. We are interested in your life. What had happened? How did you experience it? How do you feel about it? That's God's heart towards us. He wants to have a relationship with us. But in the midst of me sharing all the detail, sometimes I find myself asking God how to get out of my circumstances, how to deal with the circumstances. And there's a shortcut. It's like, God, tell me your will in the midst of the circumstances. Because I can give you all the ideas I have how to get out of this. And sometimes we do that. We counsel God. We not only explain to God our circumstances and what people have done, we also counsel God and how we should deal with the person and our circumstances. And I find myself, often I have to stop myself and say, sorry, Lord, for counseling you. Why don't you just tell me what you desire me to do? It's a bit challenging if you follow that route, because prayer becomes more than talking. Then, when I counsel God about my life and my circumstances and how He ought to provide for me, my prayers are very short. Because I tell God what I want and what I think's best, and then I say, thank you. Amen. Let it be done. I agree. It is so. But when I seek God's counsel, when I ask for His will, I have to stop talking at a point. And then I need to listen. Then I need to listen. But God, what is your will for me in the midst of how would you want me deal with the circumstance. And God always answers. Sometimes not in that day or in that hour, but God always answers. The amazing thing is, I have found the more that I search for God's will and for His answers, the easier I hear and find them. It's just, I don't know, it's as simple as that. As we search Him, and many times it's simply the Holy Spirit bringing to remembrance that what He's already said. I mean, He's kind of already said it. Sometimes we ask God, you know, this person is so ugly, they are so nasty to me, you know, God, I pray that You will remove them from the face of the earth. You know, we normally don't pray for their promotion, but their demotion, you know. But when I'm silent, the Holy Spirit just reminds me on Jesus' words about how to treat those who spitefully use you and misuse you and persecute you. It's like the Holy Spirit just brings back to remembrance the principles of the kingdom. It's like, it's how the kingdom works. It's not always what I want to hear, but that's not the point. I'm getting a bit distracted here. But the reality is, prayer becomes not just what I want and I desire and what I think and what I understand. It's about I want to know Your will, because I know Your will is perfect. I know Your will is good. I know You have already prepared good works for me, and that way You have prepared for me is life. So God, show me Your way. In the midst of my confusion, Lord, I just want to know where You are going. I just want to see You. Just point me in the direction You want me to go. And then, of course, when we pray, we realize that He is God. And nothing is impossible for Him. That's what I love about speaking to God. You know, it's helpful to speak to my wife. It's helpful to speak to friends. It's very helpful to speak to Johnny. But they can give me advice. They can give me comfort. They can give me assurance. But what I love about speaking to God is nothing is impossible for Him. He can actually change my circumstances. As much as I love speaking to my wife and my friends and my mentors, there's something about speaking to God that surpasses all these things. Is the knowledge that nothing is impossible for Him and He can do anything. I mean, I love it. I love it. You know, when you have a traffic problem, you can go to Patrick. It's nice to know you know someone that can actually do something. But there's somebody, sorry Patrick, more powerful than Patrick. Please don't go to Patrick with your traffic fines. He will just help you to pay them. But there's somebody more powerful than Patrick. It's God Himself. That's the powerful thing of prayer. When we approach it with that understanding and faith. And then, of course, the experience of God's provision, His breakthrough of changing circumstances, most of the times in ways I did not think He would do it. And it keeps me humble that I don't know all things. And then we find great comfort here and so much truth in Philippians 4 from verse 6 to 7. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And a couple of weeks ago, we spent a lot of time around this portion of Scripture, and I don't want to go in too much here, but to summarize, it says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. It's actually so simple and so powerful. It says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, make your requests known to God. So in every situation, and no matter what you are going through, we have access to the Almighty God that loves us as a Father, that cares and provides for us, has a plan for our life, is not just in our past, in our present, but in our future. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's waiting in my tomorrow, no matter what my present circumstances or my fear of tomorrow and my lack of understanding of what tomorrow will bring. I know God is all-powerful, almighty. He's already in my future. He's already made a way of escape. There's already provision made for me. I just need to follow Him. So I come to you, Lord, and I thank you for your provision. God, help me in my lack of understanding, in my weakness, in my challenges, God, but I know you've made a way for me. So please show me this way. Deliver me, God. Many times it's not deliver me of my circumstances, but deliver me of my ignorance and my lack of faith, because you will not leave. God says, you know, I've got your hairs numbered on your head. For some of you, that might be easy. But for others, I'm amazed. I know the detail of your life. He says, not one single bird falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. Will He not much more care for you, O you of little faith? So God is mindful of us. He has made a way for us. And sometimes our greatest challenge is not asking God for His provision, but just following God to our provision. Sometimes we ask God to provide for us, and He has already provided for us. But He's not provided for us in the way we think He should provide for us. We have an idea of how God is. You're going to fire that guy. He's going to get fired. So God, I pray, deliver me of this person, Lord. Deliver me of this person. Remove them from my workplace. And then God promotes them. And it's like, but that's not what I asked. No, no, you asked to be delivered. So I delivered you. I just promoted him, so he's not. But you understand what I mean. And sometimes, sometimes it's more like, God, deliver me from my circumstance, but God, show me the way you have made for my deliverance. Help me see the way you have made for me. It's all part of prayer. But with that comes that. Not just speaking, but listening and waiting upon Him and searching for Him. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Prayer is our response to God's love for us, but it's also our faith in Him as our God and Father, and that nothing is impossible for Him. That's what prayer is. So that's why it's important that prayer should always be in faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "For without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." You know, in our modern days, we are so used to our comfort and instant provision, the microwave age. You know, I was amazed, Naridach, I saw my wife make popcorn in the microwave. It was like a bag, she put it in, and like, I don't know, it's less than a minute, it came out popcorn. I was just amazed. I mean, you can do this these days? In such a short time. And we are so used to this of, you know, popping in a lasagna, 2 minutes later, ping, it's cooked, it's hot, and it tastes like lasagna. I don't know if it is, but it tastes like it. It's not the way my mother used to make it. It took a long time, but we're so used to this expectation that we put something in for 30 seconds, 1 minute, at the most 2, and then we hear ping. And then it's done. But here's something about God. In His wisdom, He said, you must approach me with faith. Faith that I exist, but that I'm a rewarder of those who diligently, earnestly seek me. Seek me. Seek is a process of finding something. It's not I know where it is. Finding it. And I'm so mindful as a young man, there's a scripture in the Old Testament, I can't remember where it is, it says that if you diligently seek me, I will make myself found by you. It changed my life, because as a young man, seeking God was so daunting. I don't know where you are. I don't know what your will is. The best way I could explain it was trying to find you in this massive soccer stadium where I cannot see my hand before my face in the pitch darkness, and I know somewhere in these 20,000 seats you are sitting, and I can't see my hand before my face, and I'm starting at one point and I'm feeling my way through the stadium hoping that one day I might find you in this journey of seeking you. But God says something powerful. He says, if you diligently seek me, I will step in front of you. I will make myself found by you. I will step in front. You can't see me. You don't know where I am. But if you diligently seek me, I will make myself found by you. I will step in front of you. That's the God we serve. But it's not always a 2-minute thing. It's a heart's desire to know and to hear and to find. And in that process, God says, those who diligently seek me will find me. I'm a rewarder of those who earnestly seek me. Do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. But we must do so in faith. We must do so in faith. In James 1 verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives all liberty without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. With prayer, it's not just an expression of faith. To a large degree, it is faith. We pray in faith who God is, but also that He will respond to us. And so faith is critical in our prayers. We don't just pray because that's what we do before we eat our meals, and that's what we do before our children go to bed. It is something that we do because we believe in God. And prayer is not just sending this modern world we live in today, hallelujah, the WhatsApp. I remember, I long for the days when there was no cell phone. And the only way you could communicate was if you actually communicate. You know, communication is a two-way thing. Today, communication is no longer a two-way thing. People even take photographs of themselves. And back in the day, people took a photograph of me. Now you take a photograph of yourself. I don't know if you noticed that. Strange. You know, you used to at least ask somebody else, can you take a photo of me, please? Who of you still do that? I mean, it's a foreign thing these days when somebody asks you to take a photo. Sometimes they even offend it. You know, I see they're really trying to get the selfie shot in. You know, it's very difficult because, come on, nodder, everybody closer. You know, they really look weird. And then I will walk up to them and say, can I help you? Can I take a photo of you? What? No. What do you mean? No, you don't touch my phone. It's like, I'm just, you know, it's so much easier if two people are involved in this process. But we're so used to this WhatsApp thing. You don't really have the person's attention. You're not actually speaking to them. You're just sending them what you want them to hear, and that's it. It's done. It's finished. You expect them not just to receive it and read it, but to respond in it. And if they don't, I have some blessed members. If you don't, like 5 minutes later, there comes a question mark. Like, why haven't you responded yet? It's like, because I haven't read it yet. So sometimes I get messages and then it's followed by a question mark. It's like, we have become like this sometimes, I fear, in our prayers. We kind of send God our requests, we end it off, and then, you know, we kind of send him a question mark. Well, you haven't come through yet. Did you not understand my first request? It's a two-way thing. It's kind of like the old days when you had to ring until somebody picks up and you kind of give your message once you hear it is the right person on the other side. And so today, I sometimes feel we pray like WhatsApps. We just send it away and we assume it's, you know, if there's two ticks, it's not necessarily me. I've got two girls who loves my phone. So please, if there's two ticks, it's not me. It's not me. Necessarily. Sometimes it is me. If it's read more, you probably will send me a question mark. You know those WhatsApp that you get that says read more? I'm not good with, I have to confess. I'm not very good with read more WhatsApps. I'm not very good with them. But you are welcome to speak to me over the phone for 3 hours, 4 hours. I will be listening. But please, I'm not going to read your WhatsApp for 3 hours. But in our relationship with God, let's not send him WhatsApps. Let's connect with him. Let's speak to him. But let's do it in faith. But let us pray with patience. This is where I was going, now I know. Let us pray with patience and not lose heart. There's another aspect of prayer is patience. And yet Jesus in Luke 18, he says, when he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. In every situation, be anxious of nothing, but always pray. Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. So he tells this parable. He says, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regarded man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. Let she continually coming, she wears or weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Because so often we send God a WhatsApp, and because he doesn't respond immediately, we send him a question mark. Do you really care? Do you really exist? Because I've sent it twice and had no reply. Do you really exist? Nevertheless, when Christ returns, will he really find faith on the earth? When you pray, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Because he does hear you. And he will respond when the time is right. And his provision has come to fruition. But don't lose faith in that process. Don't give up. Hear what the unrighteous judge says. I have no regard for God or man. But God has regard for you. And he loves you. So don't give up when you ask him. When you pray. There's another aspect of prayer. And that's exercising authority. Prayer is not just about making our requests known to God. Prayer is about exercising authority and identity that we have in Christ. We speak so much about our identity in Christ, but with that identity comes authority. And why there is identity is because there's purpose. And because there's purpose, there is authority. God did not just save us so that we don't have to go to hell. He saved us because he loved us and he wanted to make us part of a purpose that is far greater than us. It's called the kingdom of God. And with that great salvation, he has empowered us with his Holy Spirit so that we can function in the purpose to exercise the authority that he has given us. And that's part of prayer. It's not just, prayer is not just there when I need something, but prayer is there when I function in my purpose. And so we see here in Matthew 16 verse 19, it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In Matthew 18, he repeats that, as surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. You see, there's another aspect of prayer. It's not just a request that I'm making. It's actually exercising the authority of God that he has given me to see his kingdom come, his will to be done, and the lost saved, because that's the purpose of the kingdom. There's a place of exercising authority. And that authority is not just opening and loosening doors in your life. You see, in our Western world, we've become all about me, myself, and I. And yes, there are doors that needs to be opened and closed in your life, in your circumstances. But God's purpose is to advance his kingdom. And he's given us the privilege and the authority to be partakers of that process of advancing the kingdom to the end, so that we can share in the glory of those who overcame. And part of that is given us authority. So part of prayer and seeking God's will is not just, God, what is your will for my life? But God, what is your will for this life? For this town? For my business? Not just for me, but how are you using me? How do you want to use me, God? How do I advance your agenda and your purpose? And that's where prayer, where you gear up. Where you move from what I need to what God desires, what I desire to what God desires. It's when we start understanding that prayer is not just making a request, but exercising our authority. There is where God wants to lead us in our understanding. And there's two things I want to say that, because I'm running out of time. is the power of agreement, and praying according to the will of God is two powerful things. You see, where two or three agree concerning anything. You know, I want to really encourage you on Tuesday mornings. We have prayer for 45 minutes. It's from 6 to quarter to 7 at the Old Harbor. You'll see there's always the same bunch of crazy people. You know the crazy people. There's a bunch of us. We're always there. Tuesday morning, if you don't know where, you'll see us. It's the crazy people. We're always there at 6 o'clock for 45 minutes, and all we do is pray. Prayer doesn't need to be long to be powerful. Prayer is about speaking the will, seeking God's heart and speaking the will, and there's something powerful about agreement. It's not the length of the prayers that makes God respond. There are two things that make God respond to prayer. It is agreement. In other words, there is a participation in what is requested or what is spoken, and there is a deep agreement to that, what is said as truth. That has power. So when we come together to pray, it's not so much, and we would love everyone to pray, but that's not the most important thing that everybody prays. The most important thing is that everybody agrees around what is prayed. So there's a participation in the listening to what is requested, and in an agreement that that is God's heart desire. That's powerful. So I want to encourage you to join us for intercession. If it's not on a Tuesday morning, Sunday before church, they start an hour before the time. It's about coming together in agreement. That prayer of agreement is powerful. It's when we say amen and we mean it that it invokes God's blessing and action. Not the length of our prayers. And then also, what is powerful is when we start to pray according to God's will. God in His wisdom has decided to use us to execute His purposes on the earth. He has given us the privilege so that we can share in the glory. And there's something powerful when we understand the authority that He has given us to bind, to loose, to speak life and death in the name of Jesus by the power of God according to His will. Not our understanding, our desire, but according to His will. And then again, all these things requires us to seek Him, to know what this will is for us. But when we speak it with authority. So it's not your eloquence or the length of your prayer that makes it powerful, but our agreement and praying according to the will of God. Here in 1 John 5, it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him." How powerful is that? Praying according to the will of God. If you want an effective prayer life, where you see your prayers answered, find the will of God and pray that. Find the will of God and pray that. James 4 verse 3 says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it, or that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." You know, prayer is not a lotto ticket. Prayer is praying the will of God to execute. You know, when Jesus taught us to pray for His kingdom to come and His will to be done. We read here in Matthew 6. Prayer is not the lotto ticket. It's seeking and speaking the will of God. That's what makes prayer effective. Seeking and speaking the will of God. Matthew 6 verse 9 to 13. "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name." That hallowed be, may Your name be kept holy. May Your name be treated with reverence. God, I pray that Your name will be preeminent, that it will be kept holy. Your name and Your honor, it's about You. Our Father, may Your name be hallowed. May Your kingdom come. Your will be done first. Before we come to my needs, my forgiveness, and my deliverance. Before I get to my needs, my forgiveness and my deliverance. God, may your name, your will, and your kingdom come first. Then, God, let's talk about my needs, my forgiveness, and my deliverance. It's the order of things that makes it so powerful. So let us keep that in mind when we pray this week. And then, of course, it echoes what Matthew 6 says, do not worry about your life. Your Father knows what you need, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's the order of things. It's not that God does not know what you need or does not care what you need, but the kingdom is more about me. It's not just about me. It's not about me. It is about Him. It is about His purpose. And being part of that, everything that I need for is provided for. And I love, again, I was in the army. It was so powerful. It was not about me. It was not about me. There was a greater purpose for us being together. But in being together and pursuing that purpose, you know what happened? I got clothes. You know, I got lots of clothes. They all looked the same. But, you know, it was amazing. And it was fashionable. Because everybody wore it. I mean, you were like really the most fashionable guy there. You know, everybody copied you. You really had, you know. But I had the best clothes, the best shoes. They fed me. They gave me free medicine or medical aid. You know, everything that I desired, it was done for me. Because I'm in the army now. I'm pursuing something greater. And because I pursued something greater together with others, I was taken care of. I love Matthew 6. It makes perfect sense to me. It says, why do you worry about your life? Why do you worry what you're going to eat? There's going to, or what you're going to wear? There's going to be browns every morning. You know, the overall brown, the long pants brown, the short shirt brown, long brown, the brown jacket, the brown everything. Even a brown cap that matches it. It's there. Why do you worry about your clothes? Or what you're going to eat? You're going to get the same breakfast every day. Don't worry about what it's going to be. It's going to be the same. It's like Matthew 6, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life or what you will eat or what you will drink or what your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan or his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's so powerful, it's so reassuring, it's so comforting. And when you apply it, it starts to manifest. And then you'll never look back again. Because it's true. But I need to end off with fasting. What is fasting and why do we fast? Well, fasting is humbling ourselves before God and seeking Him. That's really what it is. Fasting is simply humbling ourselves. We're humbling ourselves that we forsake food in seeking God. In our weakness, we are reminded of God's faithfulness, of His provision, and that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I humble myself in seeking God, coming to you in weakness, acknowledging that everything that I have is from you, God, and that I need you. I realize I am vulnerable. I am weak. I am not eternal. I am man, and you are God. I am so weak, after one meal, I'm feeling weak. But I come to you, and I seek you, God, for these things. Because I know you are my source, and you are far greater than me, and I am reminded of the fact that I am man and not God, and you are God. And so I come to you in my weakness, and I ask you, God, in faith for these things. That's the power of fasting. We kind of slow down because we are constantly reminded of our weakness. It reminds us of the reason that we are praying. And the aim of fasting is what it's all about. The aim of fasting is not to lose weight. It is to gain more of God. So we fast because we want to gain more of Him. We want to press into Him. And so fasting becomes powerful. And I want to encourage you, if you've never done it, to try it. Start with a day and then go to three. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces with their fasting to be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. If you diligently seek Him, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's why prayer and fasting is so powerful. I want to encourage you this week. Let's do that. Our reward is not the answer for our prayers, as much as it is our encounter with Him, His power and His faithfulness through the answering of our prayers that gives us great faith and confidence. Can we trust God this week as we pray and fast for our families and just four things? When you pray for your family. We pray that God's kingdom and God's will come into our families, that Christ will be formed more in me, in my wife, in my children, God, that we will align ourselves to your kingdom and your will, God. So I pray for each one of us in this family, that we will grow in our relationship with you, that you will be formed more in us, and that you will be exalted and glorified through the things that we do and say together as a family, God. So I pray for your protection. I pray for your provision. I pray for all these things, but most of all, God, that you may be formed more in us, that you will be the foundation, that you will be the cornerstone, that you will be the house, that you will be the roof, that you will be the door, that you will be everything that defines us. That's what we pray. We pray for our church. God, I pray for this church that I belong to, God, that you will become preeminent, that you will be the head, God, that you will be the foundation, that you too will be the walls and the roof and the doors and everything that we do will be because of you. God, I pray that you will make us bold, Lord, in following you. Lord, that what we have heard of your heart for church, Lord, that I will become and we together will become that what you desire us to be. Pray for us as a church. Then pray for Hermanus. Pray for Hermanus. Say, God, I pray that your kingdom will come, your will be done in this place, Lord. I pray for all the churches in Hermanus, Lord, that we will rise up and grow to become the body that you desire us to be, Lord. We pray for the lost in this town, the broken, Lord, the lonely, the poor, the destitute, Lord. We pray that it will come to you, for you are the source of life and abundance. Pray for our town, and then pray for our country. Pray for our country as we moving towards elections. Pray, God, that your wisdom and your protection, and that you will grant us according to your desire. Lord, help us in our voting and our decision making. When we pray for our country, maybe I must say that I don't want to talk politics, but there's only three types of votes. you're either going to vote for the current government, or you're going to vote for somebody that has the best chance to replace the current government. Or, thirdly, you're going to vote for the party that represents what you believe the most. Three choices. Current government, another party that has the best chance to change this government, or you're going to vote for a party that best reflects what you believe in. It's your three options. I'm not saying any one of them are wrong. It's your vote, but whatever you do, go vote. But be mindful why you vote. Let's pray, when we pray for our country, for your kingdom and your will to be done in our country. Through whichever party wins this election. Because God can save everybody. Whether they wear a red or a green beret or no beret. Amen. God can save anybody. So maybe our way of thinking how God's going to provide for our country, maybe we think it's going to be through this party or that party. But maybe God thinks different to us. Maybe he has another plan. I don't know what it is. But maybe we must seek him. God, what is your will? And how can I pray that in our country? And if it is for a particular party or a particular leadership that needs to get saved, God, I want to pray that. Because I know that will happen. Not necessarily what I want. Not my will be done, Father. But your will be done. This cup, take it away from me. If it is all possible, but not my will, God. Your will be done. Can we as Christians pray that for our country? Show me, Lord, your will for this country. Show me your will, not my desire, my expectation, my wisdom, but yours. Let us seek God's face for ourselves, for our family, for our church, and for our country, and pray that. Can we do that this week? Amen. And if you have fasted or haven't fasted, please join us on Wednesday evening, just for 1 hour. We're going to break the fast, we're going to worship, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to go home. Short prayers. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for your patience. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come together and know that you love us. God, that you've saved us. You've given us life. God, thank you that you call us your children, and you desire us to call you Father. Lord, I pray, and as we are thankful and mindful of what you have saved us from, that we'll also be mindful of what you saved us to. You saved us to a relationship with you where we can share in confidence and not to be afraid of anything, but in faith, knowing that nothing is impossible for you, and you have a plan for our lives, and that we can align ourselves with this plan, not just for us, but for this town and for this nation. God, I pray that you will make us mindful and search and seek and knock and ask until it's opened and we hear and receive that what is yours, that we may pray it in boldness, together in unity and agreement, that your kingdom may come and your will may be done, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for your patience. I know it was a bit long this morning, but may God bless you. There's some coffee at the back. Please remember the 2-minute rule. Engage with somebody you don't know. Introduce yourself. Love them. Choose to love them. And then connect with your friends as well. May God bless you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.